Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first episode in 3 years of the 16-Bit Assassins podcast. It feels really good to be back and doing this on a Wednesday night, no less. It's a school night, and we're doing a podcast. It's really exciting. You can call us up at 646-668-2390. If you want to chat with us, it is I, your good host, Toaster. I am joined by my amazing co-host, Jen, at IHOP.
Hello. Yes, I am at IHOP.
How are the pancakes?
The pancakes are delicious. I really didn't think you were going to mention that I was at IHOP. I was going to try to keep that like a secret, but...
Oh, I got
okay, yes, I am at IHOP.
We got a bunch of inside jokes today. Like, you know, people can use our call-in number to call in and chat with us, even if they're stuck painting a room because they love their wife.
However, you cannot call into the show and have me order you something at IHOP because that just won't work.
Jen is not Grubhub or whatever the three places. So yeah,
it is called Grubhub, but no, that is not me. So.
That's true. It has been a while, and if you notice, Dunny is not with us. Not with us, but not on the podcast with us. You know, he might pop in every once in a while. But yeah, so our first
episode... I almost felt like we needed to do like a 5-minute like photo montage of how Dunny's gone the way you just said that. Like saying Sarah singing like Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You or something.
So Dunny got a girlfriend, and, you know, just go on, just like a whole montage. But anyway, we figured our first episode back, we would do it and time it to something that happened this weekend. We went to PAX East 2018, a 4-day convention that I was only there for 3 because I couldn't get the time off to go on Thursday. But so yeah, we figured on our first show back after a 3-year hiatus, we would talk about video games. You know, what we loved and why we started doing the podcast in the first place. So, yeah, like I said, you can call in. You can join us in our chat room. Just click on our episode link. It'll pop you in there. I will try to answer your questions as they come in. I'm not very good at talking and typing, which is a source of nonstop humor for my co-host. So, yeah. It's really great to have a chair. Anyway, so to start things off, I just want to give a big thank you to Think Geek. We talked to them on my first day. I picked up a dog meat bobblehead. I can't have a dog in my apartment, so bobblehead, dog meat, gotta do. But they had some cool things that you were
really.
Right,
but when you said okay,
thank you.
Thanks
yep.
so much. Happy to
be here. You had some things at ThinkGeek that you were really excited about.
Yes, they make me sad, though, because I don't have them.
Well, what are they?
I have to discuss the things that I want that I don't have? Well, the things that I really liked at ThinkGeek, well, one is the backpack of holding, because it's not only a messenger bag, but it's also a backpack. I kind of really want one of those because then I can bring my laptop and write things when I'm at various conventions. And then the figures, their new, you refer to them as collectible figures, like just collectible. That's just kind of like what they're normally called. But they have the Nuka-Cola girl from Fallout 4, which some people are into that, but I don't really care for Fallout because, yeah, that's your thing, Toaster. But they had Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn, which is kind of really cool. And they're only $40 for, like, these little sculptures where normally you'd pay, like, 100-something for them at most places. So it was kind of cool. I'd like to get one if I can manage to not have my cats knock them off of my messy, messy desk.
They were really
but
well.
I'll get lost with my badge from work because I can't find that either.
They were really well made, too. They weren't, like, skimpy, you know, flimsy statues. They were actually pretty neat. And, you know,
yeah, they had weight to them and everything. Like, they were really nice.
Someday. There's things they were talking about, too, doing, like, some more discreet gamer fan clothing, like a Destiny shirt you could wear to a potential meeting.
I'm sorry, but this is just the difference. Maybe this is the difference between guys and girls, because you're like, I describe it as, oh, it's kind of an inconspicuous, you know, shirt that only other fandom people would kind of get. And you're like, it's a shirt you could wear to a meeting.
I don't know. I'm just imagining, like, discreet clothing, like a hunter symbol on your chest, or like the Izod lizard would be on a button down. I don't know. Like,
I also wear stormtrooper dresses to work, though. So, I mean, maybe I'm not one for being inconspicuous.
We have a studio audience at IHOP right now, too. So.
Oh, you did hear that?
Yeah.
I was trying to mute. I didn't know if it went through mute or not, because I got a couple things going on, and it's just, it's weird.
Don, do
apologize.
You want to say hi to the listeners?
Don, do you want to say hi to the listeners?
Hi, listeners.
See? There we go.
Oh.
Oh.
This is so fun. I like this show is awesome.
God, you're so ridiculous. Oh, my God, you're so ridiculous.
I've been plastering stuff over Twitter all day. Like, yeah, I'm losing my show. Wow, for a second, I seriously thought our call
was... ShamelessSelfPromotion.com.
46666. Oh, nobody's going to call that number. Think Geekwood was really cool. I was like their stuff.
If I call a number with 666, can I talk to Cassifer? Sorry, I just had to.
I don't know. Maybe. There might be somebody on the other end be like, I'll be whoever you want.
Okay, that just kind of creeped me out.
Exactly. That's what would happen.
Okay.
That number
you. Yeah. We want to talk about that.
So, Think Geek was there to show off their stuff, but their, PAX is for video games. And speaking of video games, I just want to... So, while Dunny is not on the show at this point, his presence can be known, especially when he sends me text messages about games called Epic Dumpster Bear. It was on the PlayStation Network. I picked it up. Think about a bear that's been eating dumpster food because of a government facility or whatever.
The title is just Epic Dumpster Bear. You don't really need to say anything else besides, here's a game called Epic Dumpster Bear. Go buy it on PS4 and play it. Just saying.
Yeah, I really can't explain it. It's like a Mario Brothers with Unity, but with a bear. And there's cows and seagulls that poop on you that can kill you with their poop. Because seagull poop is deadly, I guess. You can jump on the cows, they bounce, they move. Jen watched me play it for a little bit.
Yes, I was thoroughly disturbed as you were playing it, just saying.
I also picked up Fortnite, and I kind of want to talk about that really quick, because the game's a lot of fun, but I hadn't even been signed up on the Epic servers for 24 hours before I got an alert in my email account of somebody trying to log into my account. Like, people have wasted no time. Our friend Marsha from the Mommy Gamers got hit with something, somebody like that. Get your own account, people. And damn, let somebody play for like 24 hours before you're like, I'm going to try to steal your shit. I couldn't believe it. But,
why play your own game when you can just, kind of steal someone else's? It's easier to steal something than to level up and actually, do it yourself.
I mean, look, cosmetic items are not worth that much money. Like it's not worth it. Yeah. Oh, what? It's Beethoven. You steal somebody else's credit card. But yeah, the game's actually really fun. Once I got kind of figured it out, because I really didn't like research any. Friends of mine were like, "Dude, you should totally get Fortnite." And I was like, "Huh?" And then it's like free to play battle royale. I'm like, "Oh, everybody and their brother is jumping on the battle royale bandwagon. Might as well give it a shot."
Yeah, bandwagon jumpers. I like to play crazy independent games that no one else has any say in, like Salad Hunt.
Oh, we're gonna get to that. But yeah, Fortnite is a lot of fun. If you haven't downloaded it yet, I definitely suggest you do. I'm not a big battle royale or shooter fan, and I'm having a blast with it, even though I completely suck. I think like the highest I've ranked is 4. I don't ever think I'm going to get the chicken dinner. I don't think that's in my cards. I've been killed by the storm twice because I didn't realize like it starts at, like I thought the whole thing was the island and then it would slowly shrink. Like one time I got stuck so far behind the thing, I was just like, I'm just going to die. There's no point in me trying to outrun this thing. But yeah, definitely it's free to play. It's on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Definitely give it a shot. It's a lot of, I think you'll enjoy it. And now let's talk about PAX.
Mm-hmm. Yes, PAX. Well, we were just talking about PAX. What do you mean now let's talk about PAX?
Well, this is like official
what
PAX.
What were we talking about before?
Epic Dumpster Bear.
Yeah, that happened at PAX.
Yeah, but I was playing that before PAX.
Oh, okay. You also were playing it at PAX, technically, because, you know, okay, whatever. It's fine. Talking about PAX. There we are.
Yeah, so PAX this year started off on a Thursday instead of, you know, they made it 4 days for some reason. And what did she say to me when I got there Thursday night, Jen? They didn't really need to make it 4 days?
No, God, they didn't even make it 4 days at all. Like, Thursday was my favorite day because it was absolutely dead. So I walked around the whole show floor 3 times. It was like the first day of PAX South. It was amazing. I loved it. Like, I technically did not even need to attend the other 3 days. Other than the fact that we had appointments scheduled to meet with people. Other than that, I saw everything that I wanted to see on that first day because there was no one there. There were barely any lines for everything. It was just phenomenal. I loved it. But no. I went and got an extravagant hotel room for 4 days, so I had to stay. Oh, yeah, he and Jeremy needed to be there.
So.
Don't mind me. That was spectacular, though. I loved it. I think this is kind of not really going with where we're discussing things, but it's going to build into one of the discussions we wanted to have of what video game conventions are kind of becoming, besides the excessive amount of video game conventions that there are. There's too many. There's not a lot of choices between games anymore. Like, the biggest games that were there were games that are already out. I mean, PUBG and Fortnite were like the biggest games that were there. Those games have been out because all they're highlighting is the different streaming software. It did not need to be 4 days. There was no need for it. But that's just my little 2 cents that I had to throw out there.
In a way, that's true, too, because they walk the floor. The Indie Mega Booth every year is awesome. Everybody who takes part in that are amazing people. They're showing great games. We'll talk about Robot Loves Kitty in a little bit. One of our favorite indie studios. They're so nice. They just rock. But, you know, everywhere you turned, like, your attention was grabbed by either Discord, Twitch, Facebook Gaming, which is, another streaming service that's being introduced by Facebook.
And Facebook Gaming, that is not Farmville. Just because it's what I hear Facebook Gaming, all I think of is Farmville. Throwing that out there right now.
It's not Farmville at all. It's totally an integrated Facebook streaming service. And one of the big selling points of it, which I thought was kind of cool, was that, you know, fans and people participating in your streaming chat, they have to use their Facebook profile. So it's 99% of the time their real name or something linked to their real name. And, I mean, yeah, this is going to stop, I guess we'll say 65% of people from being complete dicks online, but there are still like, 35% of the people that are like, I don't care.
It'll stop the people that are complete dicks, but it will not stop the people that are assholes. If that makes any sense. Because if you're a complete dick, you're probably hiding behind anonymity. Yeah. You know that word that just really didn't come out right now.
Anonymity.
But if you're a complete asshole, you don't care if they know your real name. So that's where that little statement came from.
Are we allowed to say asshole on PG-13?
You're only allowed to say it once. I said it once. I took that one for the PG-13. You've now just jumped us up to an R rating. Said it again.
You said it technically twice. So I said it three times.
Well,
me saying it made it three times.
Okay. Well, this will be our only R-rated show because this is a PG-13 podcast. So
yeah, we're trying to be somewhat family friendly. That's frightening. Anyway, Jason Mewes was there to show off Facebook Gaming, and it's in beta right now. I mean, they were literally looking at people on the floor and going, if you're a streamer and you want somebody to partner with you, let us know. And they're like, we'll do full partnerships or partial partnerships where you can stream with other people too. Like, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of advertising and networking and trying to get you to try their service, which does seem cool. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I ever get back into streaming, which I keep saying I'm going to do, but then get sidetracked by, shiny objects and squirrels. I wasn't even going to say supernatural. That's why I was just leaving the squirrels, because that was my supernatural reference without being a supernatural reference. So what was I saying? So I want to stream again. And Facebook Gaming looks like a fun kind of thing to do, because it's because it's new. But, I mean, with Twitch, I'm sorry, but Twitch has gotten weird. I mean, they have eating channels now.
Hey, sometimes people like watching people eat pancakes. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I should see myself eating large piles of pancakes at
IHOP.
Oh, I bet I could get someone to pay me to do that. Maybe I'll stream on, Mixer or something.
Twitter.
Because I can do that mobily.
A Twitter IHOP.
That would be awesome. IHOP, I would like you to sponsor me. Oh, you can eat pancakes. Okay, need to stop. Gee, you sidetracked me. This one I'm blaming completely on you.
Well, I mean, one of the things, too, we got to talk to one of the developer guys about it, and the plan is, too, to bring it to console, which for somebody like me, I don't stream when I play on laptop, on my desktop, because it just seems like too much effort. I'm lazy. PlayStation.
You just want to hit that broadcast button and not have to do anything else.
Yeah, just bing. The other day, I started streaming golf, and I had one person jump in, and I think it was just some random person that clicked on the wrong link.
Please clarify the golf game you're playing, because just saying you're streaming golf, I'm sorry, but I just get the most boring images of golf ever.
The golf game I'm playing should be a familiar sounding game to anybody who is a fan of the Hot Shots golf series on PlayStation 2. It's everybody's golf. I kept calling it everyone's golf, but it's actually everybody's golf. It's totally Hot Shots golf. And if you were the type of person that sitting on your couch and turning that par 5 in Scotland into a par 2, because you had big air clubs and everything, it's a lot of fun. It's not really golf physics intensive. It's a mash, mash, mash timed meter hit thing for your drive, for all your shots, actually. Massive online capabilities. I just got done with an international tournament contest.
We're not doing the best with trying to pronounce words today. I don't know what's wrong with us.
I played 18 holes and was six under par at the end of the 18, and I got destroyed. I still rank something 1,612. It's what? My golf game is not strong. I must improve it. But yeah, being able to kind of stream like that, and I mean, especially when, you have a much larger social, depending on who you are as a Twitch streamer. The capability of being able to stream your gameplay to your friends and stuff, would make somebody who's not a Twitch partner, who doesn't have hundreds of thousands of fans, still have a pretty solid fan base, because all your friends just pop up your Facebook Live and be like, oh, look, they're playing video games. But yeah, I mean, there's enough streaming software on the floor now that it's almost you need a streaming convention. Just let Twitch, Discord, and Facebook have their own thing. Sorry. You just go, ugh.
I just, God, sorry.
I mean, it is. Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller?
Yep. Let's see.
Do you know how to answer the calls?
Hello, caller. You are on Blog Talk Radio with Toaster and Jen. What's going on?
It's your boy, Celeb. What's up?
Why am I not surprised?
Man.
What?
Hang up is a trick number. Hang up.
Break up. What would it be if not the first episode back for 16-Bit Assassins if Celeb didn't jump on the phone? What's up, bro?
Hey, man. I'm at work right now. I saw that the show was going on, so of course I had to come on here and say congratulations for coming back after the hiatus, man. I'm so excited to see what 16-Bit Assassins are going to be doing. I love you guys. You guys are always awesome. Like every time we talk, y'all are always so humble and amazing. Just wanted to give you guys a shout out. Tell you, I'm glad the show's back, and I'll be tuning in.
That's awesome.
You're so sweet.
I feel all
yeah.
warm and fuzzy.
I'm glad y'all had fun at PAX as well. It seems like Toaster is really in love with golf balls or balls, and I mean whatever. It just
PG-13.
You didn't swear.
Oh, is it okay? I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the old school. Assassins. man, but no, on the real, I hate like coming in stopping y'all. I know y'all are on a roll talking about how awesome PAX was. I just wanted to stop in and say y'all are awesome. Keep up the good work, man. And I hope to talk to y'all soon.
Same here, bro. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right, y'all have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Oh, memories.
So that was Celeste.
Watercolored. Memories.
I'm so glad that that caller was
the
actually.
The way we were.
I'm so glad our first caller was actually a caller and not
in the corner of my mind.
Who's singing? Is that you or Don?
That was me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm really glad that was Celeb instead of somebody wanting to scream other stuff.
Yes, that was a good caller. It was one of our weird anti-Semite callers that we tend to get on occasion. I don't know what all that is about. Yes. Craziness.
Apparently people are too busy on a Wednesday to call in and harass. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. What were we talking about? We were talking about the streaming services taking over the show floor. But, you know, I mean, they did. They took out a huge chunk of the show floor, but it was not all horrible. We don't want to sound negative. PAX East is always a great time.
I was like, yeah, no, it wasn't horrible at all. Well, except for that one time I walked by one of the booths and there was some severe crop dusting. Woof.
You take, somebody's just going to drop one and just walk away.
Yeah, but this was, concentrated death. I don't know what the heck this person, ate.
Are you sure?
Or what was living in their bottom? But it was just not right.
Something. Yeah, PAX's crop dusting is uncalled for and never necessary.
Okay, first of all, any crop dusting is uncalled for and not necessary.
Check your backsides before you make somebody else cry.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's the new slogan right there.
And wipe completely because I don't know. There was just lingering, lingeringness. It was. Oof, cut down on the burritos. I don't know. Okay. Oh, God. Okay. But
I think we have an accurate representation of what went on. I appreciate that.
Beyond that little debacle, it was a lot of fun. It really was.
I made my first, I didn't play it. It just looked cool purchase. I mean, I just had to follow suit after somebody else did that. Then I went to the show. Jen, why don't you tell our listeners at home what you bought?
I bought a lot of stuff.
What was the game you bought?
I spent spend way too much money at conventions. I bought Drop Mix, Harmonix Drop Mix game, like, because I had an interview with them, and I had a lot of fun playing their games, although I need to start a petition to get them to add Africa by Toto. But I guess that's one of, I asked why they didn't have it, and I guess that's one of, like, everyone asks if they have that, because it's the best song ever. Exactly. So I'm just start singing again. Do not get me to start singing this song. Instrumental break. So, oh yeah. Oh, we're going to Walmart. Sorry, I meant to mute that.
Are we like road tripping right now too?
We are road tripping. Yes. I have to get supplies because I have a flight.
We're gonna like people
much like the song
podcast right.
It's like Africa by Toto. Coming in to a certain flight.
It's gonna be.
So, okay. Drop Mix. So it's a game. If you haven't played it, it counts as like a tabletop game. It's like this electronic base thing that has card RFID readers, kind of. I'm making gesticulations and you can't see me because I'm on the radio, and yeah, that's not helpful. But whatever. People in the car get to laugh at me as usual. So you have these different cards that have little chips in them that the RFID reader, like, reads. And they play bits of certain songs. They'll play either the instrumentals or the lyrics or whatever, based upon whatever color it is. So you put, like, this, you have these massive cards, and you put them on different parts of the board. And you make different mixes of all of these really crazy songs. And you can make some crazy, crazy stuff.
Now,
the whole basis of the game, playing against another person, I don't understand the scoring, but oh my god, did I have just a ton of fun making mixes. Like,
Jen's dropping it like it's hot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So,
it was great. So I ordered it off of, I automatically went and ordered it off of Amazon.
I think we lost Jen. We lost Jen. So while we wait for her to come back to us, we'll get to Drop Mix again later. I just want to talk about my game that I purchased. Well, not my game. I didn't develop the game. I purchased the game without even getting a chance to play it because it looked that cool. It's a game called Wolverblade, and it takes place during the Roman invasion of Britain. Oh, there you are.
Hello?
Hi.
Did it hang up? Did you hear me talk? Or it looks like it hung up because all of a sudden it said join call again. I didn't know if you hung up on E or...
No, I didn't hang up on you. It's just you dropped.
Oh. See, that's what you get for saying drop it like it's hot. So Blog Talk heard that and was like, okay, dropping her.
It would not be a 16-bit assassin, so we had some type of audio issue.
Exactly.
Jinxed us. So, continue about...
I dropped my headset. Oh, my God.
We'll go back to talking about... I lost her again. All right. So, Wolverblade takes place during the Roman invasion of Britain, and you can play one of three siblings, Karadoc, Brennus, and Guinevere. Hey!
I'm sorry. My headset got caught in the what is that thing that straps you into the seat? In the seatbelt. And then all of a sudden my music started playing and I was like, who's playing Shawn Mendes on the podcast? I was like, wait a minute, that's my iPhone.
That doesn't sound like Music Coaster listens to. What's going on?
Exactly. I'm like, I am so lost. Okay, we're good. I apologize. Okay. I am in Walmart to let the craziness happen.
So, wait, can you connect the bass to, like, speakers, or does it play, like, out of the speaker, out of the bass?
It plays, you can connect them to speakers. They had them connected to speakers there. So, yeah.
Somebody's going to use that to DJ.
It would be a fantastic idea. I would be all for.
All right, we lost Jen again. But yeah, back to Wolverblade.
Nope. No, you didn't lose me. I'm here.
Oh, I thought the call dropped.
No.
Oh,
I was like, what? I just didn't have another comment after that. So that might have sounded like a call dropped.
So on to Wolverblade, I guess. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, Wolverblade, well, you heard me intro it. I looked, we were talking to somebody. I happened to look over my shoulder. And I was just like, oh, that looks awesome. And it's totally a take on, like, the Final Fight and Fatal Fury, you know, Dungeons & Dragons, Chronicles of Mystara, Contra. If you want to go with, like, the beat-em-up side-scroller going all the way back. I've been streaming it. It's really cool because you kind of get this fantastical take on the Roman invasion of Britain. But at the same time, like, you get the historical background behind stuff. So, like, when you find certain weapons, it gives you, like, you know, the history of that weapon, you know, how it was traditionally used in combat. And you also get, like, really cool shots of, like, historical sites in Britain of, you know, their buildings and things.
Buildings and things.
But I wanted to sound all historical and, like, say the accurate name of the clans and stuff back then, but I've just been really... randomly killing things. You can, like, pick up body parts too and, like, throw them at the enemy. It's great. I have, like, just...
You can? Oh my god, I missed that.
Yeah, I'm totally ripping heads at people. It's great.
Oh my gosh.
Like, the most cartoony, mature rated game I've ever seen. Like, oh, I'm gonna get you. Not your head. Like, Brennus, the big giant dude with the knife and the axe. When he executes people, he just punches them in the face and their head explodes. The game's fucking brutal.
Yeah, that sounds very... I don't remember any of this watching you play. Like, I'm kind of confused by this.
I kind of fast-forwarded through the tutorials and didn't really pay attention because I just wanted to mess around with it and, you know, see if I was going to regret my spontaneous decision to purchase it, which I didn't. But it's out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam now. I recommend you pick it up, especially if you're a fan of, like, the Fatal Furies and games like that. It's really a lot of fun. The dialogue is great, tells an awesome story. The Romans are dicks. You know, it's perfect if you're, like, a historical buff and you want to kill enemies things. Yeah.
Killing enemies is always fun.
I also got on time with 3D Realms' newest offering, Ion Maiden. And that was really cool. Like, I completely suck at shooters on PC, but Jen watched me play, and it looked cool, right?
For Ion Maiden? Yeah, it did.
It was, like, totally built on, like, the mid-90s or late-90s Duke Nukem engine. Totally played like it, too. Really quick, snappy controls. Main character, Bombshell.
I'm still trying to figure out if this is the game Bombshell. Like, that this is what it became, because I'm really confused by that. I feel like it did.
Oh, was Bombshell being made by the same studio?
Yes.
Oh.
It's the same studio, the same character, which is why I think it's, like, the same thing.
Shelly Harrison, codenamed Bombshell, gets dropped into an impossible first mission, taking on mastermind Jadis Haskell, whose cybernetic army makes the $6 million man look like a starter kit. Dun, dun, dun. Her mission takes her through an overtaken Neo-DC, with exploding buildings collapsing all around her and hundreds of Haskell's creations shooting off to kill. It's a gift fest, just like the classic shooters of the 90s. And it is built on the same engine that uses Duke 3D, or that built on the same engine that you that Duke 3D Blood and Shadow Warrior used. So it literally looks like it's awesome. Like the developer or the PR guy we were talking to initially let me die like twice before it's like, hey, you want a secret? I'm like, huh, there's secrets? Oh yeah. And they had me shoot out a vent and went through the vent. It was really cool. A lot of fun playing it. We got to talk to Fred, the developer, who was really excited to talk about it. You know, told us the inspiration for it behind, you know, like, you know, those original shooters and how he felt. And honestly, there were a lot of, like, people that kind of said the same sentiment where they weren't so worried about graphics anymore because they were telling a fun story and people were going to enjoy that. I think he made a point to say.
But I cut, see, like, I both agree and disagree with that statement because I am sorry, but I don't want to play your 16-bit game. If I want to play a 16-bit or an 8-bit game, I am just going to go back and pick up one of my old systems and play it. I don't want to play it on any of my newer systems. So that's where I kind of disagree with that statement that was made. But that's just my two cents.
I mean, I, you know, I like going back to those kind of games because, A, they're fun. They remind me of why I've started playing video games in the first place. And honestly, like, seeing developers make things intentionally to be more fun than more, like, hardware-driven is really neat, especially with the way that, you know, bit miners are fucking up the prices.
Yeah, but they give me headaches watching the graphics. Like, I just don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, I thought it was a lot of fun, and I think the demo level is available on Steam now. I might be wrong. I could be lying.
I don't remember, and I don't have my press release thingy thing with me.
If only I was sitting at a machine that had a connection to the world of knowledge. I could check it, see things.
Way to go.
What is that? It's actually up on for early access right now on Steam. So you could, you know, watch the trailer and, you know, they may have used the old engine, but it still looks really smooth. And it was a lot of fun to play at PAX East when I got to sit down with it. Jen, what was some of your other fun games that you got to play?
I played Ashes of Creation, which I like primarily because it has a phoenix for a logo. Just going to throw it out there right now. That is what drew me to the game. You have a phoenix, I like you. I'm all about the flaming birds. But it's an MMO. We saw them at PAX West last year. We played the same level that they had, but they've gotten, like, they've added so much more to it. There's no release date for it. It's still in Zero Alpha. So there's not, like, a whole lot to really explore on it right now. But it looks so pretty, and I'm really excited to get into the Zero Alpha, which they tell me I'll be able to do. And then I'll have more to talk about when I start playing it. But excite.
Did they, like, change any, like, add any additional, like, attacks or rolls or anything? Was there anything new, or just kind of get a facelift?
No, it just kind of got a facelift. There were a couple additional, like, enemy, like, not the main bosses, but just, like, the little enemies that run around and kind of spawn.
Yeah.
But that was, I got to play a ranger this time. I was a mage last time. Now I got to play as an ranger, which I prefer, because then I could just stand in the back and kind of shoot at things. But
so what kind of attacking was the ranger doing? Like, was it anything?
Sorry, I missed that.
What was the ranger's, like, playstyle like?
Like any typical ranger. I mean, it's an MMO. They're kind of, their archetypes are kind of all the same.
True.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm shooting arrows at big giant things.
So it still, like, looks stupidly pretty. And
yes, exactly. It looks stupidly pretty. Again, considering they haven't had a lot in the game, like, they haven't been working on the game for tons of time, it looks nice. It's there weren't any glitches that I ran into, which is surprising. Even when I kind of wandered away from the group, which I did inadvertently. I didn't do it on purpose. I just kind of wandered away.
I'm going to go over here.
Yeah. I get distracted, in case you couldn't tell by you know, this conversation. Also being at Walmart and people running into me.
What is the salad game that you played? What is that?
Oh, Salad Hunt. It's a mobile game that it's really, really weird. Okay. So it's kind of one of those wave attack games, and you have various vegetables coming at you, and you throw forks at them to stop them from coming at you.
You throw forks at vegetable animals.
Yes, you throw forks, and that's like the base attack, is throwing forks. But then there's also like wooden salad bowls that you can throw at them to stop them. In addition to the tomatoes, there's also, they look like, I think they're scallions, but they're cats. And there's also, they're like jalapenos, and they're dogs. So they're initially green, and then when you throw the fork at them the first time, they get all hot, so then they come at you even faster with like a flaming tail. I know I am not explaining this the best way. People are looking at me like I'm crazy right now, but whatever. So it's really cute. It's on iOS. I think it's on Google Play as well, and it's called Salad Hunt. It's free to play. I'm sure there's probably some form of microtransaction in it, but it was just really cute, and I would suggest people go and play it. I think you should download it as well.
Who's this guy? This person.
Wait, what? What happened?
PETA is going to be so pissed. You're killing vegetable animals. They're not going to know what to do with themselves. They're like, oh my God, it's our food. But do we protect?
Okay, so I am all for, you know, animal rights and stuff like that, although I'm not a vegetarian. But are vegetarians and vegans aware that the plants that they're eating are indeed dead? Like, so they're still killing that's going on with these things, right?
Like I said, they're not.
People are aware of that.
It's like we're eating vegetables, but they're throwing it at animals. Like, what do we do? It's an animal vegetable. Do I kill it or eat it? Pet it, take it home, and call it Bob. I don't know.
No. And it's funny because I'm at Walmart, and charity donation. Do you want to donate to Fight Hunger? Just popped up.
Yes. Let me feed it this dog jalapeno.
It's like, no, I just want to throw forks at tomatoes. It kind of reminded me of, like, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I feel like that was a thing.
I'm crazy
and odd. If I can find a way to see, now if I can find a way to stream it, that would be spectacular.
Watch it. We did get a chance to sit down with Blizzard. We talked to Matt and KO, who work on Heroes of the Storm, because we wanted to talk about Deckard Cain.
Because who doesn't want to talk about Deckard Cain?
It's been a while. Listen.
Deckard Cain is phenomenal.
So he is coming to Heroes of the Storm. Can we talk about this?
And he's fun to play. Even considering I'm not a person who is into, like, support players, I prefer to just run in, demolish people, ask questions later.
You know,
hopefully run out.
As a traditional I don't care about you type character, where I just mainly focus on stabbing things repeatedly until they're dead, I actually had a lot of fun playing him, believe it or not. I think it was just the ability to throw the rod at Cuba people.
I just kind of like this commentary on everything.
I love how he always, like, every time he died, he came back, oh, I seem to have had a potion. Oh, thank you, old man. That's so sweet. But we actually had a really good conversation with them. It was awesome because we got to sit down with some other people that actually were more of MOBA players than we were. So they asked some really good questions. We're going to try to actually get the audio up for that interview somehow. We might, like, splice it, make tidbits. I don't know. But, you know, tune in next week and we'll try to get you some insightful comments from them. But a lot of it, there was an interesting point about that and toxic gaming communities. Because part of the reason I don't play MOBAs is because the learning curve can be kind of steep, and people aren't really all that forgiving, and they tend to get really shitty. And you've heard, like, Dota's community, which I...
Which cracks me up, because you play games like Fortnite and stuff, where people are just as shitty.
Yeah, but I don't join team chat.
Ah, okay. I was like, the gaming community is just shitty. I mean...
I'm not annoying, like, butthead that's not, like, you know, on the, like, in the team channel, which, you know, I don't know. I'm just so used to people being crappy, it's not even worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and that point came up, like, what, you know, what they were doing, and, you know, we read and heard about the things with Overwatch and stuff like that, but, you know, when it comes to Blizzard, and I'd asked this question as well, and, I mean, really, we... I don't want to sound dismissive of their answer, but we got the, you know, the typical answer of we're working with our communities to make everything better. You know, and from Blizzard, I really believe it, but I think part of the thing too with Blizzard is there's such a forefront of the MMO community. Like, you know, people from like Dungeons and Dragons fans all the way up to like your auto mechanic are playing Blizzard games, be it Hearthstone, you know, Overwatch, Diablo 3, World of Warcraft, Destiny 2, you know, Heroes of the Storm. And I think because, like, their offerings seem to be strictly MMO or online-based, that they really could, you know, put a huge dent on, you know, or their big old stamp on, you know, fighting against toxicity in the community, especially when their gaming community for Blizzard is huge. Yeah, I just wanted to get that opinion out there. Coaster's moment of seriousness. Ding, ding, ding. But it was really cool to talk to Matt and KO about, you know, how they brought Deckard into the fold. And I brought up the point of how hilarious it would be to see Cade 6 meet Deckard. Everybody laughed. I don't think it's going to happen. Don't quote me on that. But, yeah, you know, there was... did we lose Jen again?
No, you didn't lose me. I couldn't unmute. I had a coughing fit, so I was trying to be nice and polite and not cough into the microphone, and it didn't really work.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody to end serious.
That's fine.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'd be back to playing Deckard. It was fun. You know, throwing the Herodic Cube at him, you know, doing some of his scroll attacks where he, like, can trap people. And, of course, he does say, sit, stay a while, listen, and it stuns people. It's fucking beautiful.
That was easily the best part.
Yeah, like, it was just epic. No word on when he's coming, because it's Blizzard, so, you know, he's not going to come until he's done. freezing.
I wasn't even going to make the phrasing comment because I really don't need to think about Deckard Cain coming. I'm sorry, but no.
Oh, God.
No, stop it. Do not do the voice. I will hang up on you. It's so disturbed right now.
So, yeah, like I said, we'll work on getting the audio up, you know, on the Ill Popcorn website or something so you can actually listen to the whole you know, question and answer. It's about 20 minutes, half an hour.
I think it was 26 minutes to be exact.
26 minutes to be exact.
Yep.
You know, we'll also get the interview from Fred up there as well.
Yes.
Void Point in 3D Realms. I got a chance to play the offering from the guys behind Ultima, Thief, and several other of my favorite video games. It's called Underworld, and it's like the spiritual successor to Ultima. And it was a lot of fun. I apparently got the inventive achievement. I have no idea what that means, but one of the developers, Sam, a very nice lady, was rather intrigued and impressed that I got that. I'm hoping to reach out to her so we can get some of the guys behind it on the show so we can talk about it a little bit more, because it was their lunchtime when I showed up, and I got lost in one of their other games called Memories of Mars. So, like, while I was transitioning between games, like, everybody went to lunch. So I was just like, oh, all right, I'll just play your game.
So I'm like, yeah, whatever. We have people to interview, but ooh, food?
Man, I don't blame them. It was like day two, and they were probably like, oh, my God.
But it was only day two. That's nothing. Just saying.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe my neighbor's yelling. What is he yelling at through the walls? It's been a weird show. So yeah, the Underworld Ascendant is what the game is called, and it's by Warren Spector and Paul Neurath, guys behind Deus Ex, Thief, Ultima, and System Shock, which were all amazing games. And this played awesomely. Like, there was no real tutorial. You know, it was just a voiceover telling you it was going to test you. It's a lot of fun. I can't wait till it comes out. I'll see what else we can get for press materials and what we can talk and post and stuff for them, because the game's like an alpha.
Zero alpha would be zero alpha.
Alpha Infinity. There was another survival MMO that we got to play. Rend.
Oh my god! You get a cookie, you got the name right.
I did. I kept calling it Ruin all weekend because, yeah. But we got to sit down with the lead developer, Jeremy. And I remember that because it's really easy to remember. You'd start off, like, the whole map idea was trying, like, the game, I don't know where to start. There was just so much. So it's a survival game where it's based, from my impression when I got it, like, Ragnarok had already happened and you were trying to gain entrance back into the Norse pantheon. And it's a game that takes place on a triangular map that Jeremy was saying. It's so large that it would take a player a half an hour to run from one corner of the map to the other. The game starts off with three factions. You form factions with your friends, so you all start off in the same area. You build forts. And the way the game is played, the overview of it is you're collecting souls to try to refuel the Tree of Life. And the first faction to fill the Tree of Life wins. And when that happens, the server itself resets. There's several additions to the gameplay, which are really interesting. So there's going to be twice a week, there's going to be what they call events. And these events are when huge monsters come and attack your fortresses that you've built through hard work and learning skills and talents. The whole overall idea that I got was, like, this game really pushes you to play with people and learn to work together as a team. Not everybody will want to craft things, but, you know, everybody needs stuff to craft stuff. So you got people, you know, your frontline people will be going out to gather materials, attack for PvP people. But, you know, it always comes back to the fact that you have to rely as well on your teammates to finish or win the game. But, twice a week, these big monsters come and attack. You can fight them off, but the shields protecting your base don't recharge for a couple of hours. During that time, other factions can attack your base and take you out. The game has this huge crafting tree and talent trees that are kind of reminiscent of a more beefed up version of what, like, vanilla World of Warcraft trees were like. And it goes really in depth. I mean, really just think about, like, if you were to build a really cool crossbow, what materials do you need? And, like, I mean, everything from wood all the way to, like, the string thing. You have to go in and gather. But
yeah, that one looks fun. And some of the creatures are just downright creepy.
Yeah. But I think what helps, though, is the fact that the game itself is kind of more in a brighter palette. You see a lot of these survival games, and it's bleak, you know?
Yeah. It's very, very, for, like, anyone who's listening, if you've played Ark Survival, blah, 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 Ark Survival Evolved, it's very reminiscent of that.
Yeah, and
except without dinosaurs.
Yeah, no dinosaurs, but weird boars and insects that hit you with pheromones and they keep pile up.
Oh, and giant chinchilla looking things.
Giant chinchilla looking things. Weird base hugger looking things.
Yeah.
But one of the we'll end on an interesting point. Definitely tune in next Wednesday at 8 p.m. live, and we'll talk some more packs. Because there was a few other games that we got to play that we'd like to talk about. One interesting point that Jeremy did say is, like, as the server goes on, the chance of getting things, getting these ridiculous items comes into the play. Like, game-breaking things, as he said. Like, an arrow, bow and arrow set that knocks you, like, 50 feet back. You know, think, like, in order to use this sword, you gotta be naked type stuff. The sword's gonna be really, really badass, but you can't wear clothes. Like, you know, like the naked master in Dark Souls 3 or something ridiculous like that. But, you know, once the server isn't permanent, once a faction wins, the server resets, your character gets wiped, but you would get certain perks for participating in, you know, that time and in the effort you put into that character. So, you know, theoretically, if you were in, like, a PvP situation with somebody the same level as you, you know, they would still stand a chance to get against you because you'd be the same level, but you might have a few extra tricks up your sleeves that they wouldn't. You know, this is more of a you're basically working to become a Viking deity again. And yeah, a game is one of the real things that impressed me too is the game itself was designed to pretty much run on anything. Jeremy actually told us that he was running the server and the client on the demo that we watched. We didn't actually get any gameplay. It's in complete alpha right now. But the game definitely looks really cool, especially
it's an alpha.
Alpha, alpha, sorry.
And for a minute, I really thought you started talking to the third person when you said Jeremy, and I was going to hang up on you, just so you know.
No, the developer's name was Jeremy.
No, I know.
Why I remember.
I really thought you were going to go with, like, a third person thing, and I was like, no, he is not doing this. I don't know why he's doing this, but make him stop. So,
that's
yeah.
Weird. People that talk about themselves in the third person is just strange. No, don't do that. But anyway, Jeremy, the developer, not Jeremy, the podcaster, was running it
much better
on his machine. He was running the full server and the client that he was showing the game off with. You know, the game is like nighttime in the game looks beautiful. You've got like the Tree of Life going. You've got like the shattered remains of Viking land, Midgard, I guess. Or no, I'm sorry, the Shadow Remains of Asgard. Like, look at, I'm failing as like both a Marvel fan and a fan of mythology. And it looked really cool. I can't wait to hear some more from these guys on Rend. It's by Frostbite Studios, and it's made up of some old school MMO guys. So, you know, they know what they're doing when it comes to designing these kind of games. But yeah, that is going to be our show for the evening. Thanks so much for Celeb for calling in. You know, we'll talk some more next Wednesday about the games that we played at PAX. I don't want to talk about another one. We've got like a minute left.
That'll be PAX East Part 2, because we ended up with a lot more that we wanted to talk about, and we don't want to really keep you here for longer than an hour.
Yeah, you know, like,
and there's the podcast lady telling us our time is up. Wow, isn't she? It's like my Apple Watch.
Just like PAX is 4 days, we've extended the 16-bit assassin show to 2 days.
There we go. I like it.
So definitely check us out next Wednesday, 8 o'clock, same place, same 16-Bit Assassins channel. Follow us on Twitter, at 16-Bit Assassins. Like us on the Facebook, 16-Bit Assassins. And you can also check out our podcast on the Popcorn website and soon maybe the Mammoth Gamers website. Yeah.
If I could put up that little soon GIF, I would, but I can't because, you know. It wouldn't make sense because it's audio.
I want to use the one of like Shaq shaking his shoulders and the cat and Shaq.
No, that's not a soon one.
But yeah, definitely follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Stay tuned. We may have some contests. I need to go through some stuff and see what I have that I might be able to give away. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. This has been the first episode back in a while of the 16-Bit Assassins. We hope to see you next week and subsequent weeks after. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I hope you have a good evening. This is Toaster.
And I'm Jen.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.